is now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. And if I can find out where I left that little... Well, I'll just have to wing it. His name is Monty. And he told me that when he gets into a really, you know, crispy place, the unhappy place, you know, he calls his sponsor, he calls his higher power, and he looks for the beauty in his life. And here he is.
My name's Monty, and I'm a grateful, recovering alcoholic. My Uncle David Looper would say that I'm a recovered alcoholic because I've worked all my 12 steps, and I have a new life today. I miss David Looper tremendously. I live in his house, and let me tell you that his spirit lives on. I hear him all the time there. I haven't drank since December 28th of 2006, so I have a little over 9 years. That's 3,324 days. I started drinking at a really young age because I would watch my Uncle David and my Uncle Gene and all my older, you know, uncles hide their bottles out in the backyard of my grandma's house, and they would hide like my Uncle James called it his Sweet Lucy, and it was white port. And then they would hide Thunderbird bottles and, you know, Ole cans and stuff like that. And I wanted to know what they were doing. So I would go out there and I'd find it and I'd see this paper sack and this bottle. And so, you know, I'm a curious kid at that young age, and I cracked open this white port. And that's some nasty shit, man. Excuse my French, but man, it felt good going down, though. It was warm, and it made me, like, have energy instantly, man. It's like, oh, man, no wonder they're drinking this stuff. This is power, you know, and I thought that at a young age. And I don't know, my favorite drink is Beefeaters. I like gin, like you know, Bill Story talks about. You know, he liked gin, too, and alcohol has taken me places that, hell, I don't even remember going most of the time because I'd black out, and, you know, I'd wake up like one time in Texas at my dad's house. My credit card showed me how I got there, you know, the bills when they came in the next month. You know, I'm like, God dang, you know, just some insane stuff. I found AA a long, long time ago, but I didn't work any steps. I didn't read the book. I didn't do anything that the old-timers told me to do. I thought I knew everything, so I was unteachable. I didn't even listen to the judge, man. I mean, he was giving me life on the installment plan. You know, I spent 17 years in prison. I've been in like 9 different prisons, and this last time I met an old man named Wayne that... he'd been going to this fire camp for like 15 years doing H&I there. And, you know, the first meeting that I went there, when I got there, I met him and we talked. And the next week when I went again, actually it was 2 weeks later, he told me that he had been waiting for me to come there for 15 years. He said a lot of times he would go there and nobody would come. And he would still sit there and wait, hoping that an alcoholic would walk in the door. And... he helped me read the book. He helped me work my steps. He told me if I wanted to experience a new freedom and I didn't want to go back to prison again and I didn't want to be a prisoner in my own mind, then I had to do a few simple things, man, and that's to do the steps the way the big book says to do it. So we did it, man, and I got rid of all this junk that I had inside me, you know, and I turned it all over, man, on my fourth and fifth step, man, and I knew that I would probably never see this guy again. So I went ahead and I told him everything. You know, and I really thought that I was unique, and I just there was no way possible this guy could do what I've done, you know, or have the things happen to him that had happened to me or any of that. You know, and I come to find out that he was a prisoner at that fire camp at one point in time, and he got approved to go in there after he stayed sober for a long period of time, and they finally approved him to where he could go in there and carry the message. And I became free in prison. Now, I don't know if, you know, anybody can relate to that, but You know, the people that got to see the light bulb come on in my life was my Uncle David Looper, because he showed up there about every 16 months or 17 months he'd come give me a visit. I didn't deserve no visits, man. You know, I kicked his door in at one time, man, because he called me a thief, man, at an AA meeting. And I said, I'll show him what a thief is, man. And I went and kicked his door in, man. And he knew I did it. You know, I lied and said I didn't do it, and I had to sleep in the car in front of the house, and, you know, because that's right where I really needed to be. You know, I shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff, but I was, you know, I was sober when I did that. That's insane. You know what I mean? I mean, I left that AA meeting at the community center in Tulare, and I jumped the freeway, and I ran over and I kicked his door in, and I said, I'll show him, man. You know, all I did was hurt myself. You know, I didn't have nowhere to sleep after that. I had to sleep in the car. You know, that's some great thinking, you know. I'll share another experience with alcohol, man. I like I said, I like Beefeaters. I like Budweiser. And I didn't know that this one drink, it tastes like punch. And the bartender, because I was ordering a pitcher of beer, Beefeaters, and she said, let me buy you a drink, sir. This is in College Station, Texas. And I'd been sober about 4 months, and I went out there, you know, I was going to change my life, do that geographical. How you doing, Dill? Love you, man. I was going to do that geographical, man. I figured that I could go to Texas and my life was going to change, and I wasn't going to drink no more. I wasn't going to do the same stuff that I do over and over, man. I called my dad. I said, hey, I don't know my dad. You know, I called him up and always, you know, I hated him because he was never there for me. You know, I had a resentment, man, and it kept me angry at him for years. And so he says, come on, son. You can't do the shit you do in California because you're going to be in Texas. And Texas don't mess around. They got this sign that says, don't mess with Texas when you go cross over their state line. It doesn't mean trash, let me tell you. I get out there and I'm drunk in this bar. I order a Beefeaters, a pitcher of Budweiser, and I go and I drink about half that pitcher, and I got this fine girl with me that I've met at the Dairy Queen. And she had on this little mini skirt, like suit-like, you know, really like business-like. And there was only one seat in the place, and at the Dairy Queen, and it was, she had a booth, and the other side was open. So I'm like, hey, can I please sit there and eat my sandwich? Oh, yeah, help yourself. So that's how I met her, all right, at the Dairy Queen. I didn't know at the time that she was an undercover ATF officer, okay? It gets real juicy. So I took some pot with me to Texas, and I wasn't going to sell none to nobody or do any of that because, you know, it could make me calm down. I wouldn't do the same stuff that I do. You know, I thought I could hide that from my dad. And, you know, the first time I fired one up in the backyard, he's like, boy, you better get that shit out of my house. So I had to hide it in a trash can outside. And anyways, I take this girl to the Hurricane Harry's, it was called, and I get that Beefeaters, man, and that shit does stuff to me, man. I become 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I can dance like John Travolta. I mean, man, I can dance. I mean, I don't think, you know. I get out of my element and I can really move. At least I think I can. So I get back to the table and I got her a mug. I got a mug and I down that Beefeaters and I'm feeling good. And we got about half that beer done. I need some more alcohol. So I go back to the bar, same bartender. And it's a big bar, man. They had like four bars in there and some like these kamikaze bars and stuff. And I get back to the bar. I'm like, hey, let me get another Beefeaters and another pitcher of beer and two more mugs. And she's like, okay, let me buy you a drink. And I'm like, okay. So she gives me this drink, and I said, how do you drink? She says, just down it. So I, oh yeah, that was, I'm like, ooh, that's good. And it was sweet, man. It went down smooth. And so I get my bud, my Beefeaters, and I get back to the table, and I take half the drink, eat that green olive, and down that other drink. So I got two Beefeaters in me, probably a pitcher of beer, and that whatever that drink was she gave me. I mean, me some more beef eaters, man. I love that stuff. So I go back to the bar again, man. I can walk pretty good, but I think I can. I'm like bumping into people. And you got all the. I'm the only guy in the bar that has on like Bermuda shorts, and I'm in Texas, man. These guys all got on Wranglers and all this stuff, and I got on Bermuda shorts and a slingshot, you know. And they're like, these guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. They all want to fight me, you know. And I'm bumping into them, and so I make it back to the bar finally, and I told her, man, he's another beef eaters. And she's like, are you driving? I said, nope, I got dropped off. And I'm hoping to go home with, you know, the miniskirt lady, you know, but who knows, you know. She orders me this, I get the beef eaters another pitcher, and I get back there, and we got like three pitchers on the table, and, you know, this girl's looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm an alcoholic, you know. I am crazy. But when I was at the bar, I asked the girl, she bought me another drink, and she says, I told her, what do you call this, man? It's like, it's good. She says, it's called a screaming orgasm. And I'm like, oh! And I went back there. But when I get back to the table, this girl has a guy next to her. I'm kind of seeing double. I'm like, am I at the right table? Because I only met her one other time at the Dairy Queen. And I'm like, am I at the right table? I'm like, oh, man. And I'm like, is that your wife? And he's like, nope. I'm like, am I at the right table? She's like, yeah, it's. I said, is that your girlfriend? Is that your mom? Sister? You know, she's got his arm around her. And I'm like, I'm wanting to fight now because I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And this dude's got his arm around my date. And I'm like, well, then could you just take your arm off my date? Because you're really offending me. I don't know what I said. I probably used a lot of cuss words. And he's like, said something, and he takes his arm off, and I push him, and he says, sir, you better chill out, or I'm going to place you under arrest. I didn't know they were undercover ATF officers at that time. Okay, I found out real quick after this next move I made. You know, I'm drunk, you know. I'm really thinking that beef eaters makes you really smart. All right? So when I push him, I said, hey, he says, you better chill out or I'll place you under arrest. I'm like, you can't touch me. I'm undercover from California. Badge number 209. That's our area code, you know what I mean? It used to be, at least, for you youngsters. Hey, that guy's like, I showed him, because he's like, oh, I apologize, sir. And I looked at him, and he took off, man. And, you know, I thought he was trying to place me under citizen's arrest. I didn't know he was a real cop, or I probably would have still said the same thing, you know. But I told her, look, I showed him. Hey, look at that guy. And he took off. And about 5 minutes later, I'm drinking some more of that Budweiser, and I see a bunch of commotion, man, and this guy's leading a pack of cops to where we're at. I'm like, oh, no, here it goes. It's starting. You know, I'm in Texas, man. The Monty's still there. And I'm like, oh, man. So I take off in the crowd, and there's a lot more people than in, you know, in there. So I had on this, like, slingshot, and I had on this, like, jacket. So I'm like, let me turn it around. They won't see me. So I go to the bathroom. I'm like, screw this. And I threw the jacket in the trash, took my wallet, put it in my boot. Oh, my goodness, man. I didn't make it out the front door, and they arrested me for impersonating a public servant. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, shit. Hey, they locked me up in Texas, man. They tried to give me 10 years for that. No drugs were involved at all. Straight alcohol, man. All right. You know, those that know me know that the last thing I grew up wanting to be a drug dealer and stuff like that, because I wanted to be like organized crime, because I had people around me that did bets, and, you know, they golfed on the golf course and they drank beef eaters, and I wanted to be like them guys. They had pretty girls, they drove Lincolns. Last thing I wanted to be was a cop. You know what I mean? And if alcohol makes me want to be an undercover cop, I don't want no part of that shit. You know, have I drank since then? Yeah, I did. They kept me in jail for like 4 months. They put me on TV like 5 times. My dad is area manager for Budweiser out there. I embarrassed the shit out of him, man. Really bad. They wouldn't take none of my phone calls. I'm in jail. I'm with all these big old cowboys, and I'm having to fight almost every day because I talk funny. They're the ones that talk funny. You know what I mean? They got that southern accent. I don't got no accent, but to them I did. And you know, and they tested the shit out of me out there, man. And so at least once a week I got in a fight, man. And the cops liked me because I didn't get in no trouble. I had black eyes and I wasn't crying or telling or any of that shit, you know. I just going about my business. 4 months later I get out of jail and my dad says, "We need to have a talk, man." I'm like, okay. "What's up?" He says, "You need to quit drinking." I said, I'm not drinking no more. So once again, I tried to white knuckle it. I wasn't willing to do anything other. I was going to meetings at the Brazos Valley Alano Club, whatever they had there. And same thing. Put in nothing, get nothing back, really. You know what I mean? Sit in a chair and not participate. It works for a little while. I'm speaking to myself, not trying to offend anybody. It worked for me for a little while. But what ended up happening? Same thing. Do the same thing over and over. Expect different results. It always happens. That's insanity, man. I always come back and I always drink and get loaded again, man. You know, I started using a lot of drugs, man, and mixing that with alcohol is off the chain. You know, I never thought I'd end up in prison, man. Never in my wildest dream. People told me I'd go there. I thought they were full of shit, man. You know, I used to think that I had to be a fall down drunkard like my Uncle David, man, and I had to get kicked out of the cop car in front of my grandma's house, you know, at 2-3 in the morning. You know, I always grew up wanting to go to the Shiloh Club, you know, and I never made it there. And I never drank any alcohol in the Shiloh Club. I always wanted to go there, but I think I was worse than my Uncle David. You know, with the inventories that I've done and the step work that I've done, and I went way, way further than he did. And I'm really lucky that I can use my brain still. I'm really lucky that I'm able to keep a job. You know, I have the best life today, and it's a direct result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? It changed my entire life. It let me look at me and find out that I suffer from a disease, man, that is curable, man, as long as I put these steps together and I do what the book says. It's fixable. That doesn't mean I can drink anymore. That's just not what it means. You already know what happens when I drink, man. I become undercover Superman and John DeVolta and all that good stuff. I'm employable today. I have to work my 12 steps at work every day because somebody makes me mad, or, you know, I have to call upon this higher power to help me, because if I go about my own devices, I will lose my job. You know, driving cars, I have to really, you know, meditate and not chase people down because I have this anger problem. I mean, and it surfaces, you know, there's still more work to be done. I'm not, you know, I'm a work in progress. You know, I know that on December the 27th of 2006, when I got busted by the Tulare County Sheriffs, they blocked the 99 freeway. I was drinking beef eaters and snorting and smoking speed, man, going to do a deal. And they did not care that I was drinking and driving. All they cared about was that they got what was in my car. And I really didn't think, I didn't think that it was going down like it was going down that day. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I will never forget that day. They blocked the freeway with like 7 unmarked cars, and I didn't even know they were cop cars. You know what I mean? They were like unmarked, you know, and then when they got in front of me and they surrounded me, all of a sudden these lights started coming on in front of me, and I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm freaking out." You know, that shit's some good stuff, I thought. And they're like hitting their brakes, and I almost rear-ended them. I'm like, "Holy mackerel." So I veer off the road, they block me in, and It was like on cops, or you know, on a movie, man. They jumped out with guns and, I mean, machine guns. They had a mask and bulletproof vests, and I'm like, holy mackerel, it's really going down. Yeah, I'm grabbing because I learned a long time ago, you know, have your license and insurance and registration right there. So roll your windows down a little bit so they don't look in the car too much and just, you know, they're coming with machine guns and stuff, and I'm trying to handle my driver's license. Yeah, that's insane, you know. I didn't want the party to end. You know, what do they say? What you gonna do when the party's over? I'm going to sleep. I was so grateful, man. I wasn't even resisting this time, man. I'm like, man, this is over finally. You know, when they put them cuffs on me, and the guy's like, what do you got to say? I said, I want to invoke my Miranda rights. Just take me to jail, man, so this can end. I was looking at a life sentence, man. I have my paperwork, man. It's like this fucking thing. You know, I mean, I just got a life scan, man. So I'm trying to go into Corbin Prison or Avenal, man. Hopefully they let me go, man. You know, I want to go back in and show some of the guys in there that there is hope for us, man. That there is there's a better way to live, man. This is so much easier than running out there 24 hours a day, man. I know drinking and using for me, man, was a 24-hour day job, man. You know, I drive around, man. I used to think everybody is plotting on me. I used to think that they were. And I'm gonna tell you what, you can tell me that they weren't, but I will never. I still believe that they were following me the whole time. They were, man. Ain't nobody gonna convince me no different. How'd they bust me? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They were following me. You know, how'd they know where I was going to be at? You know what I mean? I mean, really. I mean, it probably didn't help that, you know, I'm selling drugs to everybody in town. You know, I go in every liquor store and, you know, try to will and deal to buy a bottle or two. I'm trying to will and deal in a set price for bottles of liquor. You know what I mean? What was I thinking, man? Because I thought my shit didn't sting, and I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know. And I'll tell you what, on November the 18th of 2006, you know, I hurt my back on a job, and I wasn't under the influence when I fell and hurt myself, man. I've had two back surgeries, and see, this thing up here doesn't understand a drug is a drug is a drug, period, man. It doesn't understand pills or street drugs or alcohol. It just knows my favorite is more. Okay, period, man. I just want more. I like that just that feeling. But when I hurt my back and I paroled once again in 2002, and on November of 2002, I fell out there building the Goshen Village apartments out there. I was working from Uncle David, and then the superintendent liked the way I worked. Because Uncle David's job was over, and he hired me as his number one laborer. And there was like 13 other guys underneath me, and I was in charge of them. And you know, he'd give me the assignments, and I thought all my shit didn't stink. I was sober though. I was dry. I wasn't doing a program at all. Today I work a program in my life. You know, everything ain't perfect. I'm still learning how to live life on life's terms. You know, I'm learning how to pay bills. I'm learning how to be responsible, you know, in this society. I'm a member of society today. I can actually vote. I'm not on parole. You know what I mean? It's been almost 3 years now. Time's going by fast. You know, it's so friggin' fast, man. I've had the same trade since I've been out, man. I do solar. Somebody gave me a chance, man, because I begged them. I said, man, please give me a chance. I'll be your best worker. And they gave me a chance, man. And you know what I was talking about, hurting my back. You know, I was really on fire for the program back then, and this was in 2002. I was going to try to do it, you know, again. And I paroled from Turning Point. And it was co-ed there, and it was a trip, man, because there was girls there. I'm like, what the hell are they doing here? You know, that's trouble. You know, I mean, you know, put guys and girls in the same house, that's trouble, man. But I didn't want to get in no trouble, man. I wanted to get out and get a job, and I was already working. I wanted to try to get a life that I really don't even know what life is about. Today is I'm learning everything, you know, about life, man. And watch what you pray for. You know, especially when you start, you know, you get a job and you start getting things, you got to watch what you pray for. You know, because I've gotten everything that I pray for, man. Now I got to take care of all that stuff. You know, like a boat, a truck, a car, a house. You know, I live alone, man. It's probably a good thing that I live alone. Because I'm crazy. You know what I mean? I'm crazy, man. I don't, you know, I do some weird shit, man. I amaze myself in that house with Uncle Davis, man. You know, I think if my dogs get talk, man, they tell you, this guy is crazy, man. I get out there and talk to him and shit, you know, and tell them all my problems, man. And all they want me to do is just give them some food, you know, and pet them and shit, man. You know, they're good listeners. They don't say nothing back. You know, they want to lick you and all that good stuff, man. And, you know, that's the truth, man. That's what I need right now. I'm learning how to take care. I have a daughter that didn't know who I was. A direct result of, you know, thank God I worked the steps. Because when I got out, I was going to be real mad at these people because they didn't tell my daughter about me, man. Whose fault is that? That's my fault, not theirs. You know, and my sponsor told me what I want you to do, because I had a cell phone in prison. You ain't supposed to have one, but, you know, we have things, you know what I mean? We had everything, actually. The guards were bringing it in and shit, you know what I mean? Let's just, you know, they helped out too, you know what I mean? It ain't funny, but hey, you know, you gotta survive. But I told my sponsor, I said, look, man, I'm so friggin' mad, my daughter called somebody else dad. Oh, man, that hurt me, man. That hurt me so friggin' bad. Because I called in 2009 on her birthday, September the 10th, and, you know, I did a three-way phone call, and the guard gave me permission, and I told her, Mom, hey, I want to talk to Kaylee. She said, well, you know, it's her birthday. I said, well, that's why I'm calling. I'm not calling to talk to you. You know what I mean? I didn't say that, though. I didn't say that. I wanted to say that. I didn't say that. I was being nice. And she's like, it's Kaylee. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd like to talk to her. She gets on the phone, and, you know, see, I really wasn't working a program until I got to Conocti Fire Camp. Okay, I was still in the yard, still walking the yard, doing all that stuff that you got to do to survive. And I hadn't met Wayne yet. You know, I met Wayne in 2010, and my life changed, man. We read the AA book, we worked my steps, man. I went to that meeting. He told me, you got to make me a deal. I'm like, what's that? He says, you got to come every time I come here and we'll do your 12 steps. And the only way that we won't work a step is if somebody else comes into the meeting. Man, I'm back there telling everybody, hey, come on to the meeting, man. Come to the meeting. You know what I mean? Because I got to do some writing and stuff, man. And I didn't want to share that stuff that I put on paper because I went back and read it, man. I'm like, oh, God. You know, and I'm like, for some reason, man, there was something magic happening this time with a pen. You know, I put all the stuff down that needed to get down so when I got out, I could change, man. But I changed. I was changing in there. And you know what? I'll tell you what. We didn't have no fires. We didn't. Every time it was time for AA, man, my crew's on call for a fire, and we didn't get it. We never got a call, and I made 12 meetings in a row. And we did my steps. And man, my life changed, man. And all my friends were like, dude, man, you're like, I can't believe you're not partying with us. I said, I'm partying with you. I'm enjoying watching you guys. I get to see me in action. You know, and that's the truth, man. This higher power, man, gave me a new set of eyeballs, man. You know, I got to look like a new pair of glasses. I got to look through, and I got to see what I did not want to do anymore. You know what I mean? And I love my homeboys. I'm not saying a bad word about them. You know what I mean? I love them to death, and I'll hug them, and I'll help them work their steps if I can when they walk in the door. You know, but I don't have to go down that path no more. I do not have to go down that path no more. And all I got to do is keep coming to meetings and keep being, it says rigorous honesty. Try it. Try to be honest in all your affairs, man. It's hard. It's real hard. I do it though, man. I have a great life today, man. But I want to talk about the pill thing, man, with hurting my back. Because I was sober and I tried to take some pills because the doctor said I could. You know, they're a doctor, MD, you know, they you know. See, but I didn't tell them I was an addict, though. Or alcohol, you know, I didn't even tell them I was alcoholic. I probably should have told them that. You know, that might have helped, you know. You know, but I wanted to get high. I wasn't done. Uncle David said, man, relapse, screw relapse, man. You're either done or you ain't. You know what I mean? Period. Relapse is just a fancy word, man, for I want to fuck up some more. Excuse my French. Sorry, Uncle David. Yeah, he don't like that word. He likes to say it, but he don't like to hear it said. But I love my Uncle David, man. I really do. If it wasn't for him, I'd probably still be doing life on the installment plan. Because I'd given up on myself, man. I was okay with going back to prison for, you know, 8 at 80, 5 or 6 at 80, and 6 at 80. That's what they gave me. One time I got busted with 0.003 of a gram. Tell me how much that is. That ain't very much. That's an empty baggie. And they found it. I didn't even know it was there. They found it. And they gave me 6 years at 80% for that, man. Nowadays, that's a misdemeanor. You know, see, some of us did all that time to make these laws get changed down. And I'm just blown away that Prop 47 makes a possession of meth or that shit a misdemeanor now. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, whatever, you know, more power to them. I'm grateful that I got clean before that happened. You know, I'm grateful that I got sober before that happened because that's like a running ticket for me. But I know that if I put any bit of alcohol in my mouth, it's off to the races. Because with that booze or that bottle of brandy or beef eaters or whatever I can afford, you know, once I put that alcohol in my mouth, I'm off to the races, man. Next thing you know, after about 2 hours of getting drunk, or, you know, because I get drunk. I like to get drunk. I don't like to just sip. I like to get drunk, man. I want to keep drinking, so what do I do to keep drinking? Add a little chemicals with it. You know, I become a chemist. And it's on and cracking, man. I like to snort it, shoot it, eat it, whatever, man. You know, I'm grateful that I'm lucky that I have a clean bill of health. You know, I'm grateful I'm alive, man. I should be dead. If it hadn't been for the intervals of going to jail and getting rescued by the cops, you know, I'd probably be dead, man. You know, alcohol is the worst drug in the world to me, man. It's illegal, and I can get it anywhere. I don't fear it no more. I mean, I believe I'm spiritually fit enough. Not every day am I spiritually fit, let me tell you. Especially when somebody rides up behind my car or something, or wants to, you know, flip me off because I made a wrong turn or something. I become real unspiritually big fast. But, you know, I want to fight them and all that crazy shit. But, I don't know, man. If you haven't read the AA book, I would suggest getting one and reading it, man. I don't retain very well, so they have some tapes. You know, I have some old tapes that I found at Uncle David's that I've been listening to, and you know, I have an older car, so I can still put the cassette tape in, and it still works. You know, I got a CD player in there that works, and he has a lot of CDs, man. And you know, I've been going through some funk lately, man, because I got a good enough program today that I don't need somebody to take care of me, and I don't got to have that special person in my life. You know, it either works out or it doesn't. You know, relationships are hard. Okay, they suggest that you don't get in a relationship. It's a simple suggestion. It doesn't say it in the book to not get in no relationships. But people that have been through the program and know that you need to work on you first. Like me, I got to work on me. I've been out for 3 years. I've been sober for over 9 years, and I'm still finding out who I am, man. You know, it's hard, man, to take care of yourself and then take care of two dogs. You know, feed them. That's a big responsibility. You know, but I'm talking love them dogs too, you know. Not just have them as pets in the backyard. Go out there and clean up their poop and go out there and feed them and talk to them and pet them and, you know, let them know that they're loved, man. You know, that's what it's about. I mean, I grew up my whole life wanting to fit in and be part of something. And want somebody to love me, man. You know, that's why I acted out all my life, man. You know, because I didn't feel part of. And, you know, I thought if I acted out full, you know, you might like me more. And a lot of people, they're either scared of you or they like you. You know, and, you know, today I don't fear no man, big or small. Because I've had my ass kicked by the smallest dude and I've had my ass kicked by the biggest dude. A punch hurts no matter what. You know, today I treat people with respect. And if I don't get it, man, I stay away from them. I have a choice on what I do, man. That's what AA is about. It's about choices. You know, and the book, it breaks stuff down in there that'll tell you about, you know, that we suffer from a disease, man, and it's curable, man. And it says that rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. It even goes a little further and says that if you're mentally insane like I am, that if you have the capacity to be honest, it will work for you too. Right? So, fuck, they took that excuse out of the way. You know, I thought, I have an excuse. No. I read the book, so I'm like, oh, man, that applies to me too. You know, there's hope yet for me. You know, my Uncle David, he instilled it, he pounded it in my head all the time, man. He'd come and see me at the worst of the worst. You know, he'd find me out on the street sometime. He'd see me walking down the street or whatever, and he'd always turn around. You know, he's like, are you done yet? Hell no, I ain't as old as you yet. You know what I mean? And he's like, you don't gotta get that old. You're throwing your life away, son. Damn, you're smart. You're a looper. You know, I drive his red truck, man. I get behind the wheel of that red truck, and it says Rocket Man on there, man, in the dashboard. You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, here we go. Boom, you know. That thing's got a loud motor, and my cousin Dale gave it to me after the funeral, man. And what a gift, man. I think my cousin hated me at one time, man. Maybe he didn't hate me, but just didn't want to be around me because I was a crazy person. You know, I hurt everybody that come in my path. You know, I've never stole from him. I never hurt him, I don't think. But I probably hurt him because every time that I come back in their lives, I disappear. I go to prison again, man. People start to get to know me again. They start to like me. What do? Houdini. Wait, where's Monty at? Oh, he's back in prison. Damn, he must like it in there. You know what I mean? I got out, man. There were some people, they seen one of my cousins, man, and they were talking and they didn't see me yet. They said the conversation, I come walking, they didn't even recognize me. They're like, damn, he said, hey, I heard Monty got out. Damn, how long do you think he's gonna stay out this time? And I'm right there. And I'm like, I didn't say nothing. And they're like, well, I don't know, man. He said he's been sober this time for quite a few years. He looks different. And the guy don't even recognize me. And I'm like, what's up, Steve? He's like, Monty? I'm like, yeah. He said, oh, my God. He's like, wow, what are you doing, man? You look young, bro. Man, where you been? I said, I've been in prison, man. I said, well, that's my second home. That's what he was telling the person. You know, that's what I like, man, apparently. You know, it's easy in there. It takes a real man to stay out here and pay bills, take care of your children, keep a job, love yourself, take care of yourself, relationships. Everybody wants somebody to love them, man. God made man. God made woman for man. God made man for woman. Okay, unless you're a weirdo. Excuse my French, but if anybody, but I'm sorry. I believe in the Bible, man. You know what I mean? So let's just, no offense, man. I have cousins that are gay, all right? Or one. You know what I mean? Different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? I love him. Hey, I love him to death, man. We talk a couple times a month. We don't talk about his difference or my difference. You know what I mean? hey, everybody has a right to do what they want to do, man. It's freedom of choice, right? It's all about choices, right? That's what it's about. Let me clean that up. All right? It's about choices, man. And it ain't my responsibility to tell somebody how to live their life. It ain't my responsibility to tell anybody what their sexual preference is. You know what I mean? It ain't. What the book has taught me that I have to love everybody unconditionally. And if you're different, I still got to love you, man. Okay? Because you know what? I'm just as different, and you know, it's like a two-sided coin, man. Flip it. But the one thing, man, that I know, like my cousin Darren, man. You know, he married a man, and you know, he's got two beautiful children, man. What a trip. And I blew me away because I met my cousin. She's my I guess it'd be my second cousin, and I was tripping, man, because I'm like, damn, she looks like a looper. You know, I'm like, I seen her like three times, you know, three different occasions, and I'm like, finally I had to ask him. I'm like, that's your daughter, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, she looks just like you. She looks just like my mom and your mom. And I'm like, how did that happen? I ain't the smartest guy. I already clarified that. You know what I mean? Undercover, you know what I mean? What they did was they took his semen and they had a surrogate mom and they made a baby. They made a baby. Yeah. And she's beautiful. And Darren's a good dad. Or mom, whatever you want to call it. Right? Hey, there's lessons to be learned here. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to say that I have an open mind today. Not to go the other way, but I have an open mind. You know what I mean? I love everybody, man. I don't care where you come from, and I don't care what my homeboys say neither, man. I'll hug a black man today. Okay? I will, man. Period. I will. Okay? I don't ever got to live that way again. Hate is ugly, man. It's ugly. And this whole world is so corrupted by hate, man. And that's how my life was raised. I was twisted growing up, man. They taught me some crazy stuff, man. And I believed every word they told me, too. You know, and me and my uncle, man, he used to tell me some stuff. And every word that he come out of David Looper's mouth to me when I was growing up, I believed. You know, my Uncle Jimmy and Freddie Fletcher and all them, man. I took it for gold, man. And they, I don't know, man. I have not had a drink, man, since December the 27th of 2006. My sobriety date is... My sobriety date is December the 28th, because that's when I woke up in the jail cell and prayed to this higher power, and I'm going to tell you what I asked him. I kept it short and sweet. I'm like, God, you don't know, I don't know who the hell you are. I want to tell you that I'm a effer messed up person. I need you to show me how to stay sober. Amen. My paperwork had three X's on it. My bail was $1 million for a little teeny bit of shit. I was looking at a third strike, and he answered that prayer. When I, you know, everybody else was getting drug court, okay, I thought, all right, I can get out of jail. I can get out of jail. There's a way to get out. You know what I mean? My brain's thinking again. The disease is thinking. So when I got in front of Judge Couillard, I asked him, I said, Your Honor, permission to speak. My lawyer's like, don't say nothing. I'm like, what do you mean don't say nothing, man? I got it. You ain't saying nothing. You know what I mean? I'm looking at a third strike, man. I got to speak up. And he's like, don't say nothing. There's recording, or you know. So I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I didn't care at that point, man. I said, Your Honor, everybody else is getting drug court. Can I get it? Just like that. And he's like, his jaw dropped. Because I'm usually a clown. I act out in the courtroom. Especially if I have a girl out there. I want to talk to her. You know what I mean? Hi, babe. Or whatever. You know, whatever. I even tried to, get up out of the booth and go out. They smashed me into the wall. And I always get to spend the night in the holding tank and stuff downstairs. Because I always acted out. But Judge Trulliard's jaw goes like this. I didn't know you were interested, Mr. Staples. The person that you portray doesn't want help. That's not cool. You know what I mean? That's what he said. I remember that. I'm like, it did something to my inside. I'm like, oh my God. You know, am I that bad? He says, I'm going to ask you something. If I send you to that other courtroom, will you do the program? Huh. Man, my brain's like, all right, you're going to go home. You know what I mean? I'm going to get a party. That's what I'm thinking. The words that come out of my mouth changed my life. I'm one of the ones that took 8 years at 80% instead of drug court. I told the judge, no, I will not, Your Honor. First time in my life, I was honest with myself and with another human being and with God. And that's why I'm sitting here today sober. That's why I have the life that I have today that I have not used. The only thing I've done perfectly, man, when I say use drugs, I'm talking about alcohol. Alcohol comes first before the drugs. I had the drugs with the booze, or you know what I mean, because I need more. But my life changed that day. And I did not, the only thing I did right that whole prison term was I didn't put anything in my body. I didn't make no wine. I know how to make wine good. I mean, good. I like the way that stuff tastes. Bruno is, I make it good. But, yeah. But, and I have the life that I have today as a direct result of being honest. And we're out of time. If you're new, all the people that said they were new, welcome to AA. Alcoholics Anonymous could change your life. Give yourself a chance. Do the program. Get the book. Get a sponsor. Work your steps. And you're the most important person here right now, man. Don't be afraid to reach out, man. I'll give you my phone number. I'll do my part. But you got to call me. You know, my phone don't ever ring, man. One last thing. I participated in an intervention last week. A friend of mine, he's 19 years old, and I didn't know Grassel was going to be there. And I walked in the door, and he says, oh my goodness, the puzzle is complete now. I didn't know you guys knew this guy, you know, when Grassel see me. And my friend went to treatment, man. And he wasn't going to go, man. He was ready to go to the streets. And I was able to share my story and my book of charges. And I told him, once they kick you out of this house and they don't help you no more, son, this is what's going to start happening. Records. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Monty.